The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today's message is the essence of my message regarding sex, and it's a continuation of last week's message on men and women. So let's look at an overview. Sex is little understood and widely maligned amongst believers in particular. This broadcast will address the fundamentals of sex as intended by the Almighty Creator as a righteous and set-apart act between committed believers in lifetime covenant relationship. Finally, we'll examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. We will look at the one flesh covenant and then note that women are spiritually and intellectually equal to men and that men should treat women tenderly and make love considerately. We will then speak about the 7 days of consummation and the fact that there are 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers. And we will then speak about adultery. We will consider families with more than one woman and then discuss the spiritual categories with regard to sex and the age, and thereafter we'll discuss the age at consummation. We'll then discuss divorce and what is forbidden and what is not forbidden. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years of experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure that the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, the show and podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are a number of podcast websites that have the previous items. So we're going to continue with the article 2021-1102, The Essence of My Message Regarding Sex. To recap, sex is little understood and widely maligned among believers in particular. This broadcast will address the fundamentals of sex as intended by the Almighty Creator as a righteous and set-apart act between committed believers in lifetime covenant relationship. This article is focused solely on spirit-filled believers in the Almighty Creator. Elements of it will not make sense to others. In the last broadcast, we talked about sex as a fundamental element of being human. We talked about sexual intercourse as an extremely powerful spiritual act. And we talked about the Virgin's Covenant. To continue, we'll now talk about the One Flesh Covenant. Male semen contains all the elements of blood, and therefore male ejaculation into the vagina of a woman seals a similar covenant relationship to that described last week, albeit somewhat less contractually strong. Where this takes place in conjunction with the giving and taking of virginity, it is particularly strong. At the same time as physical ejaculation of sperm, there is a spiritual ejaculation of the spirit of the man into the woman, such that an unbreakable spiritual bond is formed between the man and woman. This is the one flesh bond. The more times the man ejaculates in the woman, the stronger the bond becomes, until they're so strongly connected that they know each other's thoughts, and there's a massively powerful connection between them. If the man ejaculates in the mouth, vulva, or anus of the woman, a weaker bond is formed. Where the woman is spiritually a virgin, this is a betrothal bond. If she is already joined to another, this is adulterous. Ejaculation elsewhere on the body of the woman forms a weaker one-flesh bond and does not lead to betrothal. When a woman climaxes in contact with a man, a portion of her spirit is likewise ejaculated. If he is in her vagina at the time, then a full-strength bond is formed. Simultaneous orgasm is particularly powerful. If she reaches her climax through manual or oral stimulation or contact with another part of the man, then a weaker bond is formed. Folks, this is so important. Sex is not some just feel-good thing that you do on the spur of the moment with whoever happens to be around that takes your fancy. It's designed to draw a man and a woman together in a deep, intimate relationship and hold them together forever. In a similar vein, if two women engage in sexual intercourse with orgasm, then a one-flesh bond is also formed at the betrothal level. If two men engage in sexual intercourse anally or orally, then a one flesh bond is formed at the betrothal level, albeit that this is adultery. Adultery is fundamentally a sexual union between two men, whether via a commonly joined woman or two men together. This is forbidden for believers. This law is irrelevant to unbelievers. Note that in conjunction with the one flesh bond, there is transfer of demons, replication of demons between sexual partners. There are soul ties, there are friendship ties, etc., all of which have spiritual significance and which will hold a legitimate couple of man and several, or man and several women together, which have to be cut off in the event of divorce or in the case of cleaning up after fornication, in the event of repenting of the fornication. Once a one-flesh covenant bond is formed, the woman comes under the covering of the man. This is a spiritual umbrella which shelters the woman from spiritual attack, provided she's in alignment with the man. This frees the woman up to be a powerful support to the man. Note that vows in church or court are only valid if the woman is a virgin. Otherwise, the conditions that prevailed at the time of consummation are upheld in the court of heaven, and the vows in church or court are meaningless. Folks, this is so important. Whatever the definition of your relationship is at the time of that first consummation, of that first vaginal ejaculation or other that I've spoken about, you lock yourself into a covenant that will last for life. So it's really important to understand that. Don't go screwing around, if you'll forgive my language. And I want to make the statement that women are spiritually and intellectually equal to men. I have been deeply grieved by recent reports of women in certain countries being forced into marriage against their will, having their education and commercial activity constrained, and generally being treated as second-class citizens. It is vital to understand that for believers in the sight of the Creator, men and women are entirely equal. They simply have different principal roles to play. In particular, they are intellectually equal. In this context, it is vital to understand that there are roughly 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers on earth today, and in high ranks in heaven. See the article 7 Single Women Believers, 7 Times Men on the website. See also the article Demographics of the Kingdom of Yah Elaboration in the article database or on the website. There's also a page on the website Demographics of the Kingdom. It is entirely possible for a woman to be president, prime minister, chief executive, etc. Women are not second-class citizens, and it grieves Father deeply that some male believers treat women this way. That said, many women choose to align themselves with their man and in support of their man, and this is entirely acceptable and a matter of personal choice. First prize is for man and woman or women to be harmoniously engaged in commercial activity together. It is entirely possible for women to have powerful sexual relationships with other women within a committed covenant relationship. So legal marriage between women is entirely permissible for believers. Marriage between male believers is forbidden. I then want to stress that men should treat women tenderly and make love considerately. There is so much wrong thinking about this. That said, it is appropriate for men to treat women who are joined to them tenderly and make love to them considerately. It is incumbent on the woman to do the same, but the issue is generally a case of men treating women badly, often because they've never been taught how to treat women well. A corollary to this is that where a woman is treated badly, or a woman is contentious or fault-finding, this causes spiritual distress to the man, which is likened in the Bible to rottenness in the bones. So if a woman is treating a man badly, the first place to look is to see whether he is treating her badly. Proverbs 12:4, a worthy woman is a crown to her husband, but a disgraceful wife is as rottenness in his bones. As a general principle, women will respond very favorably to a man who treats them with respect and tenderly. In other words, a gentle man. Men and women in covenant were created to treat one another with respect, intense desire, passion, and tenderness. There is a huge amount of wrong thinking on this topic. And there are certain cultures where this is just so far out of kilter. It's really distressing. And in some cases, there are cultures that claim to be believers. And I want to talk about the 7 days of consummation. Following consummation, there is a 7-day window during which the spiritual realm is particularly supportive of the relationship between the man and the woman, or between two women. During this period, the party should make love as frequently and intensely as possible. This will result in the strongest possible one flesh bond and love bond, and will put them in position for a strong, robust, and highly sustainable lifetime union. In such a case, failure of the relationship at a later date is highly unlikely. I just want to come back to the man-woman thing and the man-man thing. Folks, Father has said that it is forbidden for men to be sexually joined to other men, whether through a woman that they both share or whether two men together. There is no difference in your sight between a man having sex with another man and a man having sex with a woman who has already had sex with another man and is one flesh with him. It's the same thing. Don't treat the one as a greater sin than the other, which tends to happen. One of the things that is really, I think, out of line is the extent to which men and women who are in adulterous situations because of their ignorance of the one flesh bond and the principles we're talking about here, condemn men who are in sexual relationships with one another. It's the same thing. So if you're going to go around and indulge in serial fornication or otherwise, don't judge men who are basically doing the same thing in a different way. I then want to assert that there are 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers. Depends on the assembly. I've been in an assembly where there are 10 times more women than men. I've been in other assemblies where there are 2 times more women than men. I've been in 1 or 2 assemblies where there are more men than women, but that's the exception. And the assemblies where there are more men than women tend to be very religious and very lifeless. Assemblies where there are a lot of women tend to have much more life in them, much more movement of the spirit. In this context, given that most women cannot share their man, the reality is that believing women should not look for a husband unless Father clearly brings them one. Note also that a woman should only join herself to a man who is closer to Father than she is, which, since there are so many more women close to Father than men, means that most women should remain single. That said, it is important to note that Leviticus 18:22 states, "Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. For believers, sex between men is forbidden." There's nothing to say that sex between women in a committed relationship is forbidden. So it is entirely permissible for 2 or more women who are committed believers to establish a family unit in which they have a strong sexual relationship with no man. The modern tendency to equate sexual relationships between women with sexual relationships between men is unfortunately off the mark. As I say, none of this applies if you're not a believer. So if you're not a believer and you're in this type of relationship, don't get upset with me. Father doesn't care what you do. However, if you become to believe, you're going to have to clean up, and that's potentially going to be painful and difficult. Let's talk about adultery, and we've already spoken a bit about this. As noted above, adultery is a sexual union between 2 men, either 2 men joined directly together or 2 men through union with the same woman, or 2 or more men. The It results in a spiritual short circuit between the two male bloodlines, and in the case of believers, it's an abomination in the sight of the Creator. Where such adulterous bonds exist, appropriate measures must be taken to repent and clean up and cut the ties that have been formed. See Men and Women and Family, and under that the child page, Separation of Man and Woman, and also see the essence of my message regarding separation of man and woman. In the case of unbelievers, the Creator is entirely and indifferent. They can do what they like. Where a woman commits adultery against her man, a spirit of jealousy comes on the man, and he may get bad-tempered and even violent. Folks, I must stress this. There's a huge disconnect in certainly Western society that people take the laws of Yah, the Creator, and try and apply them to unbelievers, and it causes all sorts of problems. Focus, if you're a believer, focus on other believers. Don't focus on unbelievers. Father is actually not interested in the unbelievers. Remember, they don't believe he exists, so why should he worry about them? Praying for the unbelievers, etc., he's really not interested. He's got his hands full with a small number of people who believe, and most of whose lives are in a mess. So don't waste your time praying for the unbelievers. Coming back to the subject of adultery, a woman who is one with more than one man will attract abuse because she is violating her covenant with one or more of those men. Women who've had previous sexual partners and then entered into a committed relationship without cleaning up previous unions, as set out below, may well be treated badly and even violently. The answer is to clean up the one flesh bonds, etc. Fornication is random sex with varying partners, and it defeats all the above and leads to spiritual confusion and defeats Yah's intent. It is a gross abomination for believers. Note that where one has a constructive and considerate relationship with another person of the opposite gender, and where one or both persons are in a toxic or unloving union, the potential to fall in love is considerable. Exercise caution unless you're spiritually in a position where such attraction may legally, in the court of heaven, lead to a lifetime sexual covenant. In that case, negotiate terms and move to consummation quickly. I've counseled women who are in abusive marriages, and in the process of counseling them, discovered that in actual fact, they had had several sexual partners before they got into this legal church marriage with this man that they thought was so special, and turned out to be abusive and angry. The fact of the matter is, that relationship is adulterous, it's corrupt, and that results in a situation where the man regards the woman spiritually, not necessarily consciously, as a harlot, a whore, a prostitute, and therefore treats her badly because he's got a bad opinion of her. The answer to that is cut off all the one flesh bonds with the previous men, clean up the whole thing, and things will come right. Then families with more than one woman, a very contentious subject. Father Yah created human beings with a capacity for one man to covenant with more than one woman. He can take the virginity of more than one woman. Sadly, very few women can handle this today. See the case studies for examples where this has worked. In cases where such families exist, extremely powerful simultaneous orgasms between all partners are possible and desirable. Note that strictly speaking, in terms of overall laws of father, a man taking another woman is not a basis for divorce, although if there is a strong covenant agreement not to take further woman, then there may be a basis for divorce. In other words, if at the time the man and woman consummated, the man had never had another woman, the woman had never had another man, it was a virgin's covenant, and they had declared monogamy. In other words, she had said to him, I want to be sure you're not going to take any other woman beside me. And he had said, I'm not going to take any woman beside you. Then if he goes and takes another woman, it's a basis for divorce. At the other end of the spectrum, if he had had multiple sexual partners and possibly had another sexual partner on the side and they consummate, it's pointless complaining that he has other sexual partners. You covenanted with him in that capacity, even if you didn't know you were doing it. So there's a key piece here about before you have sex, make sure you understand who you're having sex with, and you only do it on the basis of a commitment to a long-term, lifelong covenant relationship. I want to talk about spiritual categories with regard to sex. There are broadly a number of spiritual categories with regard to sex in the context of believers. And again, I want to stress, I'm just talking believers here. Men and women who gave and received the Virgin's Covenant and have never had extraneous sexual congress and who have had powerful loving sex throughout their union, these families will be very strong and tend to be very prosperous. This happens infrequently. Men and women who entered into covenant after other sexual partners, but who consummated strongly and who have a very strong sexual relationship, also infrequent, but in extreme cases can be strong. See a few of the case studies at the end of this broadcast. And then men and women who engage in fornication with multiple partners, they're constantly looking for what they're missing and they never really form strong relationships. They will easily enter into new sexual relationships and generally respond favorably to any sexual approach. This is often the case where first sexual encounters were casual with different partners at an early stage. So what this boils down to is if you kicked off with casual sex on a regular basis, it's very difficult then to come down to a committed covenant lifelong relationship. Because you're always looking for something. There's the better orgasm or the better love or the better whatever. And nobody is ever satisfied. And it's so important in regard to sex. And it's really difficult if you're my age and you've had a number of sexual partners, etc., before you learnt about this stuff. But if you have children who are getting into their teenage years, you need to teach them about these things. And then the fourth category is men and women who eschew sex and think it's dirty and who've locked down their sexual desire. These women will react very harshly and negatively to any form of sexual approach. These categories will respond very differently to others who seek to initiate a sexual connection with them. In principle, all believers should be in categories A and B, although many are in category D and will battle to form a deep covenant relationship. Any form of sexual approach, even at the most basic level, to a category D woman will be harshly rebuffed and may lead to complaints and even legal action. Note that with regard to so-called transgender, the gender that is recognized in heaven is the birth gender of each human being. Transgender is not recognized in heaven. For unbelievers, this is irrelevant. They can do what they like. So one of the things that you'll notice about all these reports of men being taken to court because of so-called abuse of women and what have you, and I'm not saying that they haven't abused women, is that men who, based on the stories, have had many sexual partners only end up with a few of those sexual partners taking them to court. And as I understand it, the reality is that some of the women they had sex with were quite happy to have sex, and some of the women weren't so happy to have sex. And so they responded very differently. Things that the men could get away with one group of women, they couldn't get away with another group. And all of this speaks to if men and women behaved properly and only had sex when they were locking themselves into a lifetime covenant relationship, none of these things would be issues. Then the age at consummation. Father's original intent was for women to enter into a lifetime covenant at puberty, or certainly the age at which they first became sexually aware, which is generally at puberty. In most countries, this is now illegal and is undesirable because our society has not prepared women to lose their virginity at that age and to move into a lifetime relationship. Google reports that most men and women today lose their virginity at about the age of 17 to 18. The thing to note here is that our society, for the most part, condones loose sex at this age, when young adults' hormones get out of control. The desirable state is firstly that teenagers are educated about the issues discussed here and encouraged and supported to wait until they find a suitable life partner. What I understand to be the ideal situation was described to me by an Orthodox Jewish friend many years ago, when he informed me that in his social setting, when a young man or woman reached the age of strong sexual urges, their parents would evaluate their social circle and look for a young man or woman who they considered as a suitable lifetime mate for their child. Once they had identified someone they considered potentially suitable, they would approach that person's parents, have a discussion, and if both sets of parents considered their teenagers suitably matched, they would arrange for the youngsters to meet and discuss their interests, etc., with a chaperone present. If the young man and young woman both agreed that they could see themselves living with the other, then a wedding would be arranged within a few weeks, and the young couple would consummate and live with one or other set of parents. In this context, it is vital to understand that with a strong consummation, it is possible for just about any man and any woman to very successfully enter into a lifetime covenant relationship or marriage. That was Yah's intention for the beginning. The challenge is to find a person who is extremely well suited and with whom there is a strong connection. Dropping in and out of failed sexual relationships is not Father's way. Folks, this is so, so important. Sex is so powerful. The one flesh bond properly consummated is a massively powerful bond. Making love creates love. So every time you make love, you build something called love, and the more you build love, the more you build the one flesh bond, the stronger the connection becomes, the more tightly you work together, and the more content and satisfied you will be as human beings, and the more successful and profitable your union will be. Father designed us to meet up, make a decision, come together, and then spend the rest of our lives together. He did not intend for us to get divorced. He didn't intend for us to fornicate. He did not intend for us to be in and out of relationships. He intended us to get together and stay together for our whole lives. And if you see sex in that context, in that framework, you will have a very, very different set of parameters before you take your clothes off or have a quickie in the back of the car or whatever. Folks, so, so important. Certainly if you think that Yah and belief in Yah and service to Yah is important. Coming back to my example of the Jewish teenagers, the situation that I've just described would typically take place around the age of 18. In other words, as soon as it was legal. It is notable that a few of the case studies that result in enduring relationships occur when a woman is around this age. I recently connected with a school friend who married immediately after leaving school and still had a very strong marriage 50 years later. In general, it was originally desirable for the man to be somewhat older than the woman, but in current circumstances, this is generally not possible, certainly for a first wife. I can't stress enough, if you have teenagers, children even coming into the age of puberty, sit them down, explain to them that sex is beautiful and powerful. explain to them that they will have urges. Explain to them that they need to keep those urges under control until they reach the age where they can legally marry. And then help them and support them to do that. And then when the time is right, help them to pick the right person. Do not leave it to them and do not force your will on them. Work collaboratively with them to find a suitable mate, suitable from a point of view of social background, education, wealth, etc. Somebody that they can really dovetail with and work together with really well. And in the process, make sure that when they prepare for consummation, they're guided in how to make love in a really passionate, tender, loving way so that the consummation is strong, and support them in that first week of consummation to spend a lot of time together, make love as often as they can. Folks, sex is not a swear word. It is something that is powerful, that should be dealt with appropriately. Then divorce. It is regrettably so that marriages do fail in this age, and divorce is sometimes necessary. Note that where a believer is joined to an unbeliever, divorce is mandatory and is required by the Almighty Creator. This is not negotiable. It does not matter how good the relationship may be. The only exception is if the unbelieving spouse can be brought to belief fairly quickly. If consummation took place when there were multiple one flesh bonds and covenant bonds with people who were not part of the union, then separation from the men or women who were illegal is required. If there was a weak consummation, such as a quickie, and then infrequent hasty sex, it is highly likely that the union will be weak and the probability of the union failing is very high. If there was a strong virgin consummation with strong one flesh bond and strong 7-day lovemaking after consummation, the union is likely to be very strong and will stand no matter what comes. This is how things are intended to be. If the choice of partner is inappropriate intellectually, socially, etc., this may give rise to problems. So choosing the right partner before first intercourse is really important. I strongly advise that parents are involved to facilitate the right choice as discussed above for youngsters who are becoming strongly sexually aware. And I stress facilitate, not force. If you've done everything possible to make your relationship work in terms of this article and your current husband or wife refuses to work with you and do all necessary to make the relationship work powerfully, there will come a time when Father will condone divorce. I've come to understand that while Yah hates divorce, he will condone it if after all reasonable attempts have been made to save the marriage. Note that if you break off a relationship after significant positive lovemaking, it will be very painful, but provided you're absolutely certain this is the right thing to do, then sweat it out and look for someone else. If divorce or separation is necessary, see the article Essence of My Message regarding separation of man and woman. So what is forbidden? There's a lot of wrong thinking among believers with regard to sex in terms of forbidden acts, etc. The reality is that only certain relationships are forbidden, nothing else. So what is forbidden? Well, sex with animals is forbidden, sex between men is forbidden, and sex by two or more men with the same woman at the same time or at different times is also forbidden. Sex by a woman with multiple men at the same time or at different times, the corollary to the previous point, is also forbidden. There are other relationships that were forbidden at the time of Moshe, Moses, but that was a consequence of degradation of human beings, not in terms of a commandment. Breeding between close relatives today frequently leads to DNA abnormalities and deformities and is therefore forbidden. Generally, this is illegal in most countries. Note that originally the children of Adam and Chava, Eve, had no choice but to marry brothers and sisters, and the children of Noah's sons had no choice but to marry brothers and sisters or first cousins. So while these relationships are now prohibited, they are not prohibited by Yah in the way that the forbidden items listed above A to D are prohibited by Yah. So this is really important, folks. There are certain sexual relationships that previously were not forbidden, that are now forbidden. And there are other sexual relationships that have always been forbidden and that will lead to you spending time in hell if you do not repent of them and clean up before you die. It's so important to understand that if you are a believer, when you die, you will be judged. You will come before the judgment seat of Yah. And he will examine your life based on the records that your guardian angel has kept ever since conception. And if you have sin, if you've committed adultery and fornicated and done all these things, even if you did it in ignorance, you will be sent to hell to suffer and pay the price for your unrepented sin. It's really important to clean up your life. Get yourself free of sin. There are a number of articles on the website dealing with this. Get free of sin. It's a fundamental part of being a true believer, that you live your life above sin. You need to understand what sin is and what sin is not. So there are things that people refer to as adultery that are not adultery. There are things that people consider acceptable that are adultery. Really need to work this out. So what is not forbidden? Any sexual act between consenting partners in a lifetime covenant relationship is not forbidden. Masturbation either way, oral sex, fellatio, woman on man, cunnilingus, man or woman on woman, orally sex, man or woman on woman, oral sex is permissible. This is actually desirable as part of the sexual repertoire and can give rise to strong love bonds if done tenderly. Anal penetration of the woman or stimulation of either anally is permissible. It's up to each partner as an aesthetic issue. Bondage and similar is not forbidden, but I strongly advise that it is not appropriate in a relationship seeking to serve Father Yah. There's more on this on the web, on the article on the website with the same name, sex. Other considerations, masturbation, pornography, etc. Masturbation is undesirable if it focuses on forbidden situations, but it's definitely better than loose, uncommitted sex or sex with an unsuitable partner. Masturbation focusing on a specific person or specific photograph of a specific person will result in a weak one-flesh bond, but this can, under most circumstances, relatively easily be cut off. However, it may lead to betrothal if the woman is a virgin or divorced. Truly divorced or a widow. And then sexual technique is a paramount skill. I've increasingly come to realize that most people have very little instruction in the techniques of lovemaking, and in particular in how to engage in considerate tender lovemaking coupled with multiple strong orgasms. If you go to the article on the website, you'll find that in the appendix there's a couple of examples, some case studies of what is possible, and to give you some ideas of technique if you really don't know where to go. So in closing, I would like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you've never thought it's possible to be a friend of the Creator, I would like you to open your mind to that possibility. A friend is somebody that aligns themselves with Father, that gets to understand his way of doing things, that gets to see the world the way he sees things and not the way human beings see things. A friend is somebody who prays Father's will into existence. So Noah prayed the flood into existence. Abram was referred to as the friend of Yah. Yeshua was a friend of Yah. These are people who have changed the world. And the thing that I want to make visible to you in these programs is that you can become a friend of Yah. Doesn't matter what your background is. So wrapping up, there's some key documents in a video on the website, compendium of important articles, video on why seek relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity? The essence of my message to Christians, to also to Muslims, to Jews, to other believers, available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts to search, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 to May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search and the article search are a little bit of the way down the right-hand sidebar menu. The article keyword cloud is on the bottom of every web page. The Google search brings a lot of Google functionality to searching the website, which is important. There are 2,400 plus articles on the website, over 1,000 web pages. If you've got questions, you may well find the answers on the website. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I want to wrap up by saying, you can become a friend of Yah. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter how fat you are or how thin you are. It doesn't matter how well educated you are or poorly educated. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are or how poor you are. It doesn't matter your race, your color, your creed, your tribe, your religion. None of that matters. He wants you to become his friend. And it's up to you. You can make a decision right now and say, Father Yah, I want to become your friend. I don't know how to do it. Please help me to do it. If you go to the website, there's an article, seven components of drawing close to Yah. It'll take you through a whole progression of about 70 pages of things to do to get close to Father. The reward is huge. Sit on a high throne for eternity, great prestige, great authority, a magnificent body. It's all there for you if you will decide right now to go and seek to become his friend. He's waiting for you right now. Good night.
Father, I come to you.